without the man bun, not a ponytail.
Ponytail, man bun. Same thing.
Oh, please. All right.
Cool. Hey, guys. Welcome to the Naeem Fazel podcast. We're back with episode 7. And yeah, we're just sitting here talking about this is the first time we've been in here without the man bun.
Man, yes. And not a ponytail. I never had a ponytail. That was like Steven Seagal days. That's like in the 80s, bro.
My bad.
I had a bun.
Yeah, it was pretty serious.
It was serious, and I feel weird. I have like I had a ghost moment with it. You know how they have like you ever had a ghost feeling?
I never heard of that, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like it's called a ghost sensation where you
reach for it.
Yeah, yeah. So like the other day, I was like, I went to tie it up, and I was like, there's nothing to tie up.
That's awesome.
I know.
I'm trying to think like what done that's like that, but I know I've like had it where you just like you go to do something and then let me see,
you've had some things.
Yeah, I think it's like there was this one time when I was growing up, and
only one time you're growing up there. Yeah, wasn't two times.
I grew up one time. But the there was this door in my house. Yeah. And then it was like not there anymore, and I went to open it and it was like,
oh,
it like felt like I was free, like bursted through the door because it wasn't there. And I was
it's not there.
Yeah.
You thought you had superpowers.
Yeah, I did.
No, but
I still
right.
do.
Oh, man. But it is this year. And, you know, we want to take a second to acknowledge the fact that we don't have a man bun anymore.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
people are reacting to it, man. I got they all are. Kinds of people. Mm-hmm. People I thought never noticed me. They're like, oh, you cut your hair. I was like, yeah, I did.
Does it feel lighter? Cooler?
I don't know. I'm faster. I run faster, number one.
I'm going to ask all your CrossFit friends if that's true.
Oh, that's so true. It is so true. I'm leaner. I'm easily a couple pounds lighter. So, whew. It's like, and smarter.
Oh, really? Because it was just like.
For sure.
We talked about in one of the previous episodes about, like, you know, when Samson cut his hair and he lost his powers.
Right.
So you're claiming that.
I gained them.
You gained powers.
I gained powers. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I lost my strength, gained my power. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Nice. All right.
I'm tanner now too, so that's good.
Yeah. From
losing my hair. Yeah. Yeah.
Losing wow. Interesting.
So many things.
Wow. And okay. Hey. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know. You rode a motorcycle on the stage this past
yes,
week.
Yes, I did. I did do that. That was awesome. And on that, it would have been better with the man bun.
You know, it would have been would've flowing. Been. We could have had like some fans set up to like have it blowing in the wind, even when you stopped, and then like get some really epic pictures.
Yes, yes, yes. Totally. You know, there
was opportunity.
I think there was a show in the. I'm dating myself. It's probably the 80s, 90s. I don't know. It's called Renegade. Mm-hmm. It had this dude with a motorcycle. I forget his name.
I don't know.
Lorenzo Lamas. Do you know who that is?
No clue what you're talking about.
Oh my gosh! For those of you who guys know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. And those of you who do not know what I'm talking about,
you're not 40.
Shut up. Okay, let's get back to the podcast. So this morning, this morning we witnessed something pretty amazing.
Yeah,
we were at a red light, and there's a car that passed us by, and it had a in its fender. It's
like an entire 3-bedroom home,
right?
Like.
Definitely a side of a house that was stuck to the fender.
Yeah.
It had rammed into, you know, it was like in the car.
Yeah, it was literally sticking out of the car. Like the frame of the car.
And then it was just, but the guy was like, I got places to go.
Yeah.
I got people to see. I got a house that's stuck in the front of my car.
It
doesn't matter. I got to go.
Mobile home.
Yes.
Working on my dad jokes. Got a baby.
Oh, wow.
Coming.
Wow. Yes, you do, man.
Yeah.
Congrats in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah. July 31st.
Wow.
So, anyways, not to derail our. Yeah,
no, it's all good stuff. All right. So let's talk about something that actually is connected to all this conversation. And this idea of creating the future. I think it's connected to some of the things we're talking about. Obviously, you know, we have moments in our life that we live a certain way, a season. And, you know, we grow our hair, we cut it off, we have new seasons, you're going to become a dad, first-time dad. Oh. Obviously, we have listeners who are going through seasons of life, and you find yourself in particular seasons. So this podcast is really about this idea of creating the future. And it's a term that that I got to give credit to Urban McManus. I think 10, 15 years ago, I think it's the first time I heard it. And I really resonated with this. I recently got an email from a guy from Mosaic, the church I lead. And it's really an amazing email. I'll read this to you. He said, "Hey, hope you're having a great day. I just want to send you a quick note." He said, "Thanks for the message the other day. It was amazing." And he said, "I just want to let you know that, several years ago, preached a message that really challenged me to create the future." And he says, "I'm not sure how, but you're the main reason that I stepped out on my own and tried to create a new business called Ecos, the brewing company, yeah. Local Charlotte Brewing Company. It's not a brewing company. I think it's a software company that helps breweries and other.
They do like the POS systems, I think, right. For like their
and inventory.
Yeah, inventory and
yeah.
stuff.
And so it was a dream in his heart, and he said that you preached the message talking about creating the future, that God wants you to create certain things, that God's given you particular dreams and visions and gifts, and if you don't do them, you do the world and yourself a disservice. And he said, every day for 2 years, I had an idea of a company and a software product in my head, and I never knew what to do about it. It was nagging me over and over again. I suppressed it, telling myself that it would never work. And he said, after that message, I started taking the steps to start a business. And man, these guys are rocking it.
Yeah, they really
are. If you know anything, if you're in Charlotte, these guys are rocking it. And so he says, hey, thank you so much for the message about creating the future. And, just some really nice things. And he sent me a picture. And we got to post this picture. He sent me a picture because during the series, Create the Future, I actually did an artwork piece, and he said he took it. I have no idea where this thing was. He had taken it. This is years ago. He found it backstage one day, and now it hangs in his office. Look at this.
Really?
It hangs in his office. And we'll send it to we'll post it on for the listeners.
That's really cool.
And so I just thought, you know what? I think it's really important for us to have this conversation about what does it mean to create the future. Number one, I think that as Christians or people who are spiritual, when it comes to the future, we just believe that God has the future. He holds the future, and it's God's will, and we're supposed to surrender our lives to His will, which is true. Sometimes even if you don't believe in God, there's this idea of like we want to let the universe lead us and. Mm-hmm. So creating the future seems like a job that that God should have,
sure.
Not us.
Right.
And this podcast, I think I want to make sure that everyone of our listeners, even if you agree or disagree, realize that the God's actually given us the honor, privilege, the responsibility to create the future because. We as people of faith, have to debate about, how much control should we have and how much permission do we have to create the future? But people who are really making a difference or people who are making a difference for evil even, like people who have a dark agenda, they never ask permission to create the future. Mm-hmm. They just go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And so people who wait around asking permission to create the future never really create the future.
Yeah.
But those of us who go, you know what? I think God's given us something. God's in us, not just with us. And He's given us ideas and dreams and visions, and we got to create the future. I think it's really, really important.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to, having an intention for your life, I think it's very important having dreams and ideas about, I want to have this kind of life. I want to be married, or I don't want to be married, or I want to pursue my career, or if I want to do that, or if I want to start a business, or if I want to start a church, want to start a nonprofit. All of these things are God's given us, and we have a responsibility to move forward and take the steps to do that because no one else is going to create the future. If you don't create the future, someone else will try to create the future for you.
Yeah, and I think you just led right into what I was just saying. I just even just jotted this down. I see a lot, even just in my generation. I mean, I live in a, an era where it's encouraged to, step out. Yeah. There's so much more available to like my generation with technology.
What is your generation, by the way?
I don't know. I'm like in between. I guess I'm a millennial.
Yeah.
I
mean, or younger.
I don't know. What's after that?
I don't know.
I'm a youth pastor. I should know this stuff.
You should. Z? No. Q?
I don't know.
P. Generation P.
Generation P. That's the worst generation.
That is the worst generation. Oh, man. Yeah, they're busy.
But
yeah.
I think that I think that a lot of because there's like such a pressure to like follow your dreams and pursue what you want to do, a lot of people are actually getting lost trying to pursue a dream that they see somebody else living, mm-hmm. and they think it's theirs. And they're mm-hmm. like, people are so stuck in like trying to adopt somebody else's dream because there's like a pressure like, well, I don't have a dream just yet. So if I don't have a dream right now,
right.
I'm like already behind.
Right.
When I think that that's not the truth. I think that you just need to truly find what it is that is your dream before, because what happens is you get so deep into pursuing somebody else's dream and now you're trying to create this future and it's not even really right. your future.
Yeah, so true.
And I see it a lot.
So I true. Mean, I think the reason I believe that that's a definite issue is because of partly because of social media. Mm-hmm. So you know you go on Instagram and you look at people that you admire and you go, I think I have something like this. I can offer something what people are offering, maybe a little better, maybe something unique that's connected to an idea. And it's true, you do. And so you need to pursue it. But what happens is you go on Instagram and then we look at we look at what successful people have done, and then the idea of branding comes up. So the words, the most popular words right now are branding. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your brand? So now it's like you've moved from a person and a personality to a product. Mm-hmm. You are now a product and a service. Yep. You're not a person and a personality, which is fundamentally just wrong in a sense where, hey, you might not be starting on the right foot. You know, yeah. So when you look at, I love the idea of the language of branding, but just remember you're a person with a personality, not a product and a service. So you got that idea. And then you got this idea of platform. I need to create my platform. Mm-hmm. I need to create my platform. And what that means is I need to create some kind of platform, which is either a physical platform where I need to be speaking somewhere, or I need to be able to get paid for people to listen to me, you know, mm-hmm. that. And be it on a physical stage, be it on airwaves, and be it on through social media, whatever, or views or likes or... I need a platform, and then you create build my platform. And the problem is that we're busy trying to create a platform, we forget we have never developed any real serious content to even communicate. So we're busy creating this amazing platform, which I think some people do, and they have these a lot of followers and a big stage and all the frills and they look slick and they've got, you know, the Instagram with the coordinated highlights icons and they are a brand, they are a service, and they're building their platform, but they have nothing to say. Like, it's like, and you are saying what?
Right.
You're saying the same thing everybody else is saying. And so I think people spend a lot of time on like, hey, let's create content. But I really believe that it's really about creating character first. Like, there are certain things that you need to create. So when you do say something, it's backed up with some real life experience.
Sure.
Not like, I read all these books mm-hmm. and I know a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like, what's the company that you mentioned, ECOS?
ICOS.
Anyways.
ECOS.
Yeah. It's like you're doing that, man. You're creating a product, but you're not taking inventory of anything.
Right.
And so
right.
you just like imagine if companies did that. If right. they were just like, well, we're just gonna make something,
right.
and we're not gonna keep track of what we use or how much of it we use or how much of it we need.
Right.
We're just gonna keep making it,
yeah.
and eventually we're gonna run out of something. And when that happens,
right. it's
we're
yeah.
not gonna see it coming.
Yeah. And I think the danger there is like when you are doing that, you just become another. Just another voice. Like, you become another beat to the similar tune.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're just same old song, you know?
Yeah.
It's you've changed the lyrics a little bit, but it's like, You've heard of a song. You know, we've all done this. We're like, this is the same song.
Literally the same song.
Yeah. And just redone. And
What was the one that was like Robin Thicke? They said he stole that song
a couple years
ago. They played it like every 4 minutes on the radio.
Yes, 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 yes. So many of them.
Sorry.
So many of them. But yeah, so you know, how do we remember that we're a personality and a person and not a service and a product? How do we build not just content but character, right? How do we not just build a platform but I don't know, maybe even a presence in a sense? What does that look like, right? Mm-hmm. What does that look like? That's the question. So I think that I think a little bit is connected to Jeremiah 29, that whole chapter. And I think it's fascinating. I've talked about this before, but I just feel compelled to do it again because this is such a timely conversation. So Jeremiah 29:11 is like a really popular verse. And it says this. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope and plans for good, plans to give you plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So this idea is like, you know, hey, God has plans for you, and believe it. And so people have this tattooed places, people have this on t-shirts, you know, God says he has a plan for you, a plan to give you a hope and a future. And it sounds really great, but it sounds like it's really great content. But when you read the entire chapter that leads up to this passage, that's when you understand what God is doing in trying to develop character of people. Mm. So it really goes back. So if that's Jeremiah 29:11, you in fact have to go back to like the same chapter, verse 4. And this is where, if you read verses 4 and all the way through, what you find is this. You find, number one, God says, you're in captivity. So these are, you know, Jewish people that they have been taken over by a non-Jewish kingdom. The Babylonians have come in and they have taken over. And they have exiled some people from Jerusalem to Babylon. And so what they've done is they've taken on Jerusalem. They found all the quality, the wealth, the talent, all that stuff, and all the people that they wanted, and they've exiled certain people. So homes are divided, families are fragmented here, and people have been basically taken hostage to a different place in Babylon, which is modern day Iraq.
Okay,
and I understood this because in Kuwait, when I was there, Iraq invaded Kuwait, which is ironic, and they did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did the same thing. They came to Kuwait, and when the foreign nationals were there, they picked the smartest people there, and they would take them, and they want to take them to Iraq, which was like so ironic that it's happened here. So that was Saddam Hussein, and this guy was Nebuchadnezzar, you know. So the idea is you got these people. They've been devastated. I mean, you know, so the families have been split, all that. And it's those people who are in, they've been exiled to Babylon. They're in a foreign place. Mm-hmm. They're in a season of life that they're not familiar with. So I think for us, when we find ourselves in a place where we're not familiar with what's going on in our lives, we find ourselves like we're held hostage by a situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've done this, right?
Yeah.
You make a choice,
yep.
Something happens, and then what happens? You know, you find yourself in a season.
Yeah, and you're just like, how did I even get here?
How did I ever get here? And you feel like you've been hijacked by, and it's not been in your control.
Right.
Things just happen to
That's
you.
That's the worst, too.
That is the worst.
Sometimes you like mess up, like if you hit a house and you're driving down the road, you're like,
right.
You know what,
I did that.
But sometimes things, man, they just
happen.
Sneak up on you, and you're like,
"I don't deserve this. Yep. I didn't do this. I didn't plan this. This is not my plan." And then, you go, "God, why am I so horrible? Right?
Yeah.
Why would you let or things like, why would you let this happen?"
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. Why would you let this happen? And I think that's where they're feeling. Mm-hmm. And so, it's in the middle of that, God sends a message through this prophet Jeremiah. And the first thing he says is this. He says, build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the fruit they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them that they may have grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away, and work for the, check this out, work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. Mm. And then he keeps on going, and then he says, and this is what the Lord of the, you know, this is what God says. He says, do not let the prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you in my whatever they're telling you in my name. I have not sent them. Then he goes on. He says, you will be in Babylon for 70 years. Not seven. 70 years. And then I will come and do all these good things I've promised. Then I'll bring you home again. And then we get to verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you, you know, a future and a hope. Now, so basically God has said, you're stuck for 70 years. See, no one wants to hear that.
Yeah.
And so it's in the middle of this season. I think for some of us, God is saying, I know where you're stuck. I know what's going on. I know you're in a dead-end job. I know you're in this relationship. I know you're in this situation. Here's what I want you to do. What does it look like for you to build home and plan to stay? Mm. See, I don't know about you, and you know, I don't want to stay there.
Yeah. I'm like, well, let me just figure out something on like meetup app, or like, let me just find like someone new or some new group to be a part of. Or find,
right.
I'll just go on a app that's hiring, or I'll start driving for Uber, like anything to get me out of this current situation that
for
I'm
sure.
in. Like to either numb it or to like just immediately alter it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think technology and we wired up like that. Hey, how can I exit this season? Like, mm-hmm. how can I leave
yeah.
as soon as possible? Or how can I make myself even think that I'm that I've left? But here God says, I want you to look at where you are, and I want you to intentionally start building. You know, I mean, dude, you're in Babylon, which is modern day Iraq. You're in a place where you're like, I don't want to live in this town. I don't want to start a family here.
Yeah,
I don't want to be here. They moved me here. I don't want to be in this season. I'm just gonna wait. I'm gonna wait till the season ends, and then I'm gonna start something.
Mm-hmm. Instead of just
starting something.
Just doing it.
Yeah, and what happens when we just go wait? We just wait for this season to end. Some of us are waiting for...
Yeah.
I mean, we've got loved ones, right? They've lost people, and... I mean, you and I were talking about this mm-hmm. you know, a little bit, too. It's like, they're just waiting. They're just waiting. They don't know what they're doing, and, you know?
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, because you never know, like, if you are to just take the situation you're in and to just move forward in it and to just set up shop or whatever right. analogy you want to say, you never know like what could happen. Like, but I think what people do is they just abandon ship so fast right. because there's such a pressure to follow your dreams and to yeah. listen to the, you know, people right. that are given all these dreams and saying, this is what you deserve. This is what you are promised. Right. This is what you need right now. You need this right now, or else you cannot right. be happy.
Right.
And it's like, You're just tempted to not trust that God's plans in the future are to prosper, and
right.
and so you never actually fully see that because you weren't patient enough.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. In that regards, I think there are a couple of things we naturally do right when something like this happens. We go. Number one, we dwell on the past. We dwell on how things were. Instantly, you'll go, oh man, remember the good old days? That phrase, the good old days.
Good old days with the good old boys.
Right. I guess that's an American thing. That is not.
I don't know. I think I've heard you say that.
I have never said that. That is not a Pakistani thing. But the idea of dwelling on the past is very much a Pakistani thing. And always, everybody does that. Okay. So number one, I think we dwell on the past. Then we try to understand the present. Mm-hmm. People are trying to figure it out. What's the reason? Why am I here? Why? You spend so much time on that. So you either dwell on the past, you try to understand the future, and then understand the present, and then we try to figure out the future. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, so what does it look like for me? What do we do? Which I think leads to some other things, which leads to we begin to start reacting to our past, like we react. So in our present, the things we're doing is a reaction to what the past was. Mm-hmm. And then what we also end up doing is we try to maintain the present. Because if something bad happens, you know, a lot of the actions are connected to reacting to the past, and then they're also connected to this idea of maintaining or controlling the present. Because mm-hmm. we want to go, okay, let's calm everything down. Calm the sea. Let's straighten up the desk. Let's go clean out closet.
Yeah,
let's,
yeah. I think, was it you or Kristen or someone talked about that when they get in that moment
they start organizing. Oh, yeah, people do that. I like cleaning stuff up. I like, you know, all that. So you react, you maintain, and then you end up, and you don't even know this, trying to figure out the future turns to fearing the future. Mm. So we're like, what's the next thing that's going to drop? What's the next thing that's going to happen? What's mm-hmm. the next thing? Which is all our natural tendencies, which are human, and they're good mm-hmm. in a sense. But if we want to move forward, if we want to do what, you know, here what God's telling these people, I mean, he could have told them anything, like, it's going to be okay. He tells them, no, I want you to create the future. Mm-hmm. Where you are right now, you need to create the future. Like, plan to stay, build homes, fall in love. I mean, all of these are long-term things. Mm-hmm. It's not like,
terrifying.
Organize the house.
Yeah.
No, these are like, plant a garden. Seriously?
Just, yeah.
That is like, the epitome of like, oh, how long are we going to be here?
Right, yeah.
Have you planted anything? Have you grown anything?
Some like cucumbers and
one time. Seriously?
Yeah.
You grew cucumbers.
I mean,
like you farmed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from like a little country part of Pittsburgh. So at my grandparents' house, we would have like a little like garden, like salad
You're
stuff,
kidding
like
me.
Tomatoes, cucumbers, green peppers, things like that. One year I took watermelon seeds and I planted them. My gram was like, yeah, go for it. And she's like, didn't know what we were getting into, but apparently the soil was very fertile. And like,
what?
We grew watermelons.
Are you kidding me?
In our front yard. Just
how long did that take?
We planted them like in the spring. So by August, we had full grown watermelons and like 30 of them. I'm not kidding. Because then every time after that, she's like, no, you're not planting those ever again in here. Because it just took over her entire yard.
Oh, my gosh. No, I have not planted or grown anything.
It's hard to do that in sand.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, true. And also, when I came here, I think I've gotten better. But the only thing I have planted is weeds.
Yeah.
Weeds.
What kind of weeds?
Not weed. Weeds.
Okay.
Weeds. Do you know, I heard someone say that a weed, not weed, a okay. weed.
A weed.
You know, plant, mm-hmm. weed, is simply a plant out of place.
Hmm.
Huh.
Do you believe that?
Think about it. They all have a purpose.
Right.
They're just out of place. Huh. They just don't need to be where you're growing grass.
Right.
Now, grass, weed. What are we talking about?
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, what if...
We're not on it, though. We're not on weed or grass.
Yeah, this conversation is plant out of place right now.
It is. Okay, let's go back to this idea of, so what do we do? If we tend to do certain things, what does God want us to do? Here's what I believe he wants us to do. I believe that regardless of where we are right now, and it's painful as we are right now, in the place where we are, God wants to do three things. Number one, he wants us to reconcile the past. And reconcile the past just means not totally making sense of it, but just like it's a reconciling receipt. It's like, okay, this is the reality of the situation. Like, this is what happened. Okay? So there's no covering it. There's no denying it. There's no, like, I don't want to go back. There's no rehearsing it. No, it's just reconciling it. It's like, this happened.
Yeah.
I am in this. It's like looking yourself in the mirror, looking at where you are, looking around, sitting in the moment you're in, sitting in there and going, this has happened to me. I did this, or
not to bring it up again, but it's literally driving with a whole wall in your car and saying, you know what? I'm not going to stop and get it right now. This just happened. Right. And I got things to do. I'm going.
Yeah, I'm going. And so it's this idea of you reconcile the past. Number two, you engage the present, which means is, okay, now, going back to that whole car thing analogy, if you get in a wreck, the next time you drive, you're a little, not disengaged, but you are careful.
Yeah.
Super careful, nervous. And if you do this with a relationship or with life, you can totally not fully engage. And what I mean by fully engage is like, doing the best you can. Like fully, if you've given your heart and it's been broken, you've given your faith and it was taken, you've given your trust and it was betrayed, the next time you don't fully engage.
Sure.
You partially engage.
Yeah.
And see, I think there's so many of us that are, they're not disengaged from the present, but they're just not fully engaged. Mm-hmm. They're not fully engaged in their marriages, their relationships, their jobs, their potential, their spirituality, the people around them. They're not fully engaged. Mm-hmm. So reconcile the past, engage the present, and three, create the future. Let's start doing some things that create a future, and not a brand, not a platform, but a future.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that creates a certain kind of presence, not platform, and it creates a certain kind of person, not a product.
Mm.
And what does that look like? Because that's when we start, we begin to do that, we begin to create something that will last far more than, one generation.
Yeah.
It will keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. And that's a better thing. But in all of those things, God's saying, see, if you do this for 70 years, I mean, no, who wants to hear?
Imagine setting an alarm like on your phone. Oh. 70 years.
It'll go. My. That's, yeah.
I can't even schedule a week out. I'm like, that's too far. Just text me.
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine if we did a, not just an alarm, if you did a timer for 70 years from now, a countdown.
Yeah, let's just get it going.
70 years. It's just counting down. That's a cool thing to do if you did one, right?
I think your phone would die.
Your phone would die. Yeah. Yeah. But, I've heard this said. I was reading recently Brené Brown's book called Dare to Lead, and she was talking about a story in there, and I believe it was the Second World War. She's talking about prisoners of war that survived this prison camp. And she says that the ones that survived this brutal prison life in this war, the ones who really made it, were not the most optimistic people. She said that the most optimistic people were the first ones to die off.
Wow.
And she said because they died, she was quoting another guy who was a prisoner of war, that optimism is not what takes you the way, all the way. Optimism is like, oh, I'm going to get out of this as soon as possible. Today's a good day. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Yeah. And which is, I love a positive attitude. That's not that's not the issue. But optimism can easily turn into, despair.
Yeah.
Because it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen. So when we focus on verse 11, for I know the plans that God has for you, says the Lord, plans to give you hope in the future. And you're like, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And guess what? 1 year, 2 year,
yep.
3 year, 4 year, 5 years, we are done.
Mm-hmm.
No one has said, and see, God was faithful. Why? Because 70 years later, he did it. I mean, think about it. If you hear this even, and you are 10 years old.
Yeah.
It's
like a life sentence.
It's a life sentence. But yeah. Here God says, but I promise I'll come through. So I think it's really about not being, not putting our focus on being optimistic and not putting the focus on being, you know, realistic. It's just doing the things we need to do to create the future. Mm-hmm. It's not about, you know, being, having the confidence, having a positive view enough to go, I'm going to do hard things for a long time because I know they will pay off.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they'll create the future. So I guess the to-do here in this one is, where are we? Where are you? Where do you find yourself? Are you in a place where you're like, I have been exiled to Babylon? That's what I feel like. I've been exiled to a place I don't want to be. I'm in a season I hate. I can't believe I got here. And everything looks terrible. I'm in a form I've never been here before. What do you do, right?
Right.
Are we going to dwell in the past, you know, react to our past? Are we going to spend time trying to figure out the future or fear the future? Or are we going to reconcile the past, engage the present, and create the future?
Yeah. It's good stuff, man. Well, hey, this was fun. Guys, we really, truly appreciate and love you all for listening. We would really just ask you guys to keep sharing, right, Naeem? We need help on Instagram sharing stuff. We need help on your website, naeemfazel.org. You can go check out some things there, cool links on that website. But yeah, just any way that we could connect with you, send us a DM, give us some topics you'd love to hear. Leave a comment on, you know, some stuff on your Instagram, on my Instagram, which I changed my Instagram name. It's now vinny.candelore.
Oh my gosh. Too many people and changing your
You
have 16 of them.
You know, I'm an Enneagram 7, so like I just get bored with stuff.
That's it. You do that. You are a 7.
You know, Instagram's not even gonna be a thing when I'm like 70 years from now.
We need to talk about Enneagrams next time.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. Well, you guys have a great day. Thanks for listening.
See you guys. See you soon.